You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Holy Mountains of the World! It's a 95BFM special announcement.
It is a very special announcement this morning. We are talking about the 20th anniversary tour of I Believe You Are a Star, put on by Dimmer. That is going to be happening all across September and October, and very importantly for us here in Tāmaki Makaurau, playing at the Mercury Theatre. And we have got none other than Shane Carter on the line to have a chat about it. Kia ora, Shane, how are you?
Kia ora, Rachel. Yeah, I'm good, thank you.
Hey, this is such an exciting announcement, and it is a big band lineup as well, which I think is the first time that you've ever done like a large-scale band playing Dimmer. How's that been for you?
Well, it's quite a lot to organise. It's a seven-piece band and quite a lot to think about. And, with playing that album, it's got quite a lot of little subtle touches running all through it, and we really wanted to do justice to the record and kind of emulate the vibe on the record, and that basically involves a lot of people playing not very much at all.
Because it must be quite interesting, because you pretty much did this whole record yourself when you first released it 20 years ago. It must be quite an interesting thing to be both reflecting on a record that's celebrating two decades and then also, I guess, learning it in a new way with a new group of people. What's been some of the most interesting parts of this process for you, Shane?
Look, that's totally right. And when I've played the record in the past, well, it's kind of terrifying that it is the 20th anniversary. it was a real hard won battle, that record, because when I made it, it was before that, I'd pretty much, you know, made records where I'd gone in and recorded with rock bands and sort of done approximations of what I did live. And this one, Pro Tools was still quite new at that point.
Right.
And it was just a completely different way for me to work, where I sat in a shed and with a computer, basically, and made this record that took me 5 years, and it had no roadmap. So that's why it took so long, because I basically didn't know what I was doing. And, so it was all very sort of instinctive, and, when I have played those tunes in the past, it's always sort of been rock band approximations of the tunes, whereas that record has got a really certain vibe to it, and it's kind of this mix of shonky electronica, even though there's bugger all programmed stuff on it. It's sort of human beings playing sort of almost versions of that, and I really wanted to emulate that kind of vibe, that vibe. So yeah, going back to what you said, it's actually approaching the material for me, even though it's an old record, approaching the material in quite a fresh way and in a way that I haven't approached it before. And there's just a lot of sort of subtle textures and layers to it. And I thought, man, if I really want to do that record justice and get that vibe live, it's going to have to involve quite a few people,
And some pretty exciting people you've got in your big band lineup. Do you want to run us through who's going to be playing with you, Shane?
Yeah, it was quite a mix of, I kind of felt like an all-black selector, you know, scouring the country for prospects in various positions.
Excellent.
But, I've got Gary Sullivan and James Duncan, who both played with me. Gary actually drummed on that album, and he's my sort of main person when I was making that record, who wasn't me, playing on it. And so Gary's there, James Duncan, who's played in Dimmer for quite a long time on the guitar. Nick Rowan, who engineered quite a lot of the Dimmer stuff. He's, way back in the day, played in bands like The Skeptics, David Kilgour, and all that kind of stuff. Nick's helping out with sort of some of the synth stuff. Then we've got sort of some younger musicians in there too. We've got Lockie Anderson from Die Die Die. He's playing bass and
awesome.
Synth.
Awesome.
Louisa Nicklin. Louisa's just put out her debut EP. Well, no, not a debut EP, no, debut album.
Yes,
I came across Louisa last year. I didn't actually know her, but I came across her stuff. I was actually a judge for the Silver Scrolls last year, where we had to pick the top 20 songs from... I dutifully sat down and listened to 209 songs, which was a reflection of the current songwriting scene.
That's awesome.
In this country. And Louisa's song, I don't think it made the top 20, actually, but for me, it really stuck out.
That's
I
awesome.
I was really struck by the soul and character that she had in her music. And so Louisa's in the band. She earned her spot at first 5/8. And... she's playing guitar and singing, and we've also got a young Dunedin musician, Neve Strang. Neve, it's good to have a Dunedin person in there, being from that city myself, and she's helping representing Otago.
Excellent.
And, and she's helping out on vocals and other various duties as well. So, yeah, it's a good mix of people. Speaking as the selector, I'm quite happy with my team selection.
I think that's a pretty strong team as well. I'm really excited to see it. That's also quite cool because all those different musicians have really like distinct backgrounds and distinct sounds, but I can so see in my head how it would work for a dimmer lineup. I think that's going to be a really exciting thing to see live. I wanted to know about how you felt reflecting on, you're talking about reflecting on the process of making this record, but on the process of writing this album, it must have been quite an interesting time for you because it was hot on the back of the end of Straitjacket Fits and a totally different sonic direction for you. Did it feel like a different direction in terms of your lyric writing as well, or did it feel like a natural progression for you?
Oh, no, my lyrics have always been dark and maudlin, and so that was just a continuation of that, really. I'm sort of being flippant there, but it was a complete U-turn, and sonically anyway, and lyrically, I've always worked really hard on my lyrics, and even though people don't... quite often people don't even hear your lyrics. They'll hear, you know, what's in the chorus and a couple of lines will pop out, and quite often people think the song's completely about something else, you know, from what you intended. But for me, if you've got a good lyric, it gives you something to sing, and you can sing that with commitment because you've got a good lyric. It's like giving yourself a good speech. It's like if you've got a shit speech, it's pretty bad to get up and give it.
Yeah.
But if you've got a good speech, you want to give it, you know. And also it means you can be committed to the material. And for me, if it's a good lyric, it just means that your song has got an inbuilt integrity to it.
Yeah.
And because, you know, it's got substance. When I was talking about that Silver Scrolls thing that I judged last year and listened to 209 contemporary songs, one thing I found disappointing was that a lot of the tunes didn't have very good lyrics. And that they were, a lot of the lyrics were just sort of, to me, sounded like they were filling in rhyme schemes. And to me, you know, if your rhyme scheme is, you know, you make me feel all right, going to take you there tonight, well, that's just sort of a crime against lyric writing. To me, it's important to have a good lyric. So
yeah.
I don't know how that relates to your original question.
Oh, but, I enjoyed the answer, though. I think it's great. What makes a good lyric, do you reckon, Shane? I know that's a hard question to answer, but what makes a good lyric for you? Not necessarily in composition, but how do you know when a lyric is good? Do you just feel it, or do you really have to graft away at that?
For instance, Rachel, how do you know a lyric is good?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I guess that's my answer. I guess you just feel it. You kind of, it resonates a wee bit, eh? You sort of get that feeling where you're like, I didn't have the words to explain that, but this person's done it for me, or it's made me see something in a new way. I think maybe that's how I would reflect on a good lyric. Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's music. Well, music, you know, music itself without lyrics articulates stuff that you can't actually put into words, you know?
Yeah.
And that is the power of music. But lyrics, I don't know. For me, I can't even think of one example at the moment. But you know, it's to me a good line. Yeah, I don't know. It just sort of snaps out at you. It's just a phrase, you know.
Yeah.
As a writer, you're always walking around and listening to what people say. You know, someone might say something, and you go, oh, you know, and you write it down, and that becomes a lyric. And like I say, I can't even think of one example at the moment. That's how good I am at lyrics.
It's a bit of magic, though, isn't it? You just know it when it happens, eh?
Yeah, so it can be a phrase. I'll tell you, one good thing is ambiguity, you know, where a phrase means one thing, but it could actually mean something else. To me, A lot of my lyrics like that. I know on my last album that I wrote, I deliberately made all the records, all the lyrics, each line, this sounds quite anal, but it was my sort of concept, was to make, use really simple language so each line meant a different, could be read in two ways.
Mm.
So, and look, no one cares about that, but I did. And just sort of, if you use simple language, a simple word has more than one meaning, whereas a long word usually only has one meaning.
Yeah, so no, I know what you mean.
Simple language, you can have ambiguity in there, blah, 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 yeah.
Well, Shane, it's been an absolute pleasure to chat to you this morning, and I'm so excited about this tour. It's going to be fantastic. For anyone who's just tuning in, we're talking about the 20th anniversary tour of Dimmer's I Believe You Are a Star, and you're going to be playing in Christchurch, Wellington and Dunedin, as well as here in Tamaki Makaurau at the Mercury Theatre on Saturday, the 25th of September. And that's awesome as well, because under 18s are welcome along to that one. You just got to be with your parent or guardian, which is always a cool thing, I reckon. So thank you so much for speaking with us this morning, Shane, and we will see you at the Mercury Theatre. That is going to be an absolutely fantastic show.
Nice one, Rachel.
We're going to have a listen to Seed now. Have a great rest of your morning.
Thank you. Nice talking to you.
You too. Ka kite.
See ya.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.